You're tuning in to the Walk in Faith podcast. I'm Yvonne Rivera Newberry, guide and friend for new believers to discuss relevant topics to their newfound faith and identity in Christ. Hello, friends. We are starting a series on Bibles, all things Bibles. And over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about understanding the basic layout of every Bible and things just to keep in mind as we read them. For example, the first book is Genesis and the last book is Revelation, but that does not mean that all the books in between are in chronological order, because they're not. We'll also be looking at exploring just the Bible that you have and what are the resources that you have in each of those. We'll be talking about cultivating the habit of reading your Bible on a daily basis and why that's so important in your faith and in your walk with the Lord, and how to go about doing that in very practical ways. And then how to understand your Bible, who authored each of those books, and what is written and what's happening in that time period. Maybe we'll discuss what are some good just stock questions to have in mind as you read the Bible to always keep you grounded in the context of the information and what's being conveyed. Ultimately, it'll help prevent you from pulling scriptures out of context, because when we do that, then that really impacts how you apply that to your life. But today, we are going to talk about shopping for a Bible. And maybe you are looking for a new one because you have one and it's not meeting your needs, or it's the first one ever that you're looking to purchase. And some of you may be saying, why would I need to purchase a Bible if we have one of these, right? We have apps, we have websites where we can access the Bible and all its features at any time and at our fingertips. And you're right. You're absolutely right. And those are a wonderful tool and a convenience to have the Bible at our fingertips. But I'll just say that the digital Bibles do have limitations. For starters, they are electronic. And as such, they need to be charged and they need electricity. And a paper book does not require that. You can carry it around with you and it is always ready to go. The other thing is that apps and websites, apps are here today and may be gone tomorrow. They're not always continually updated. And the same with websites. And so you don't want to be dependent on one particular resource and then find one day that they've just kind of gone under, they've gone out of business, or they've just stopped to continue producing that product. But a book, once you purchase it, it's yours forever. And so when you're shopping for a Bible, you can go to any online bookstore. There's so many of them. I receive catalogs like from Christian bookstores, and you can certainly just punch in your credit card number and, select one and it'll show up at your doorstep. And while convenient, you don't always know exactly what you're going to get. And so if this is the first time that you're really looking at, what kind of Bible to get and really looking for something that suits your needs, I would strongly recommend actually walking into your local brick and mortar physical store. So whether that's a Barnes and Noble, or here in town we have a Mardell. It's a Christian bookstore. Well, not just bookstore. It's a Christian store that happens to have a really good selection of books, but they sell other things like decor, apparel, and lots of other stuff. But I recommend going in there and actually getting your hands on some actual Bibles just to see the difference. And it can be a little bit overwhelming. They're organized a little bit differently in each of the stores. But today we're going to just kind of talk about six elements really to kind of guide your Bible purchase. And so that'll get into version, Bible size, and you'll see there are other things that kind of dictate the size of your Bible, font size and color, Bible type, and your cover, and price point, So the first one I'm going to say is version and or translation. And what you may not realize is that the Bible, when it was written, was not originally written in English. It was written in Hebrew and Greek and had to be translated into English. And so this is where we get all of the different versions or translations of the Bible. And so often when you see, not all the time, but often, when people quote scripture, they will put the scripture, put the book, the chapter, the verse, and then in parentheses, you'll see three letters, and that represents the version or the translation that's being used. And if you were to just Google Bible translations, you would, and, you know, click on images, you'll see the spectrums and the many different, you know, versions that they have. But you'll see that there's some that are word for word translations, and then there's concept to concept translations, and then there's kind of paraphrasing and retelling. And for new believers, I would definitely stick to the word for word translations and even the dynamic translations. Just to start with, I really would steer clear of the paraphrasing or the retelling versions, just because you really want to get what was really said, not someone's retelling of it. I'm going to go over some common ones. These are not the only versions that are out there. If you were to go to a site like, I don't know, Bible Gateway and look up a scripture and then click on the little versions icon, and you can scroll and see how many different translations or versions of the Bible there are. There's tons. And I don't even know that that's a complete and comprehensive list, but it's a significant list. I'm not going over all of those. I'm going to go over really some basic ones. And so the word for word translations would include translations like the NASB, so the New American Standard Bible, the ESV, the English Standard Version, the King James Version, and the New King James Version. So those are translated, like, you know, word for word. There are two other ones that I like to reference, and these are called dynamic versions or translations, and these are more concept to concept. And this is your New International Version and also your New Living Translation. And I actually like them, okay? I think there's some people who may frown upon the dynamic translations because it's, you know, it's not the word for word. But I'll tell you, my first Bible was an NLT Bible. It was a New Living Translation, and it's my default Bible, and I enjoy it. But as I've grown and matured in my walk, I've definitely appreciated and do look at other versions of the Bible. And so what does that look like, or what is the difference between those different versions? And I'm just going to pull one particular scripture, Romans 12, 1, so that you can hear the differences between those versions. For the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, Romans 12, 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Okay, so the English Standard Version says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to help your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." King James Version, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." New King James Version, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." New International Version, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." New Living Translation, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." The one that people will often think of when they think of a Bible and it sounds like a Shakespearean play, that's the King James Version. And there are some folks who will say the King James Version is like the only true version that you should be studying from and whatever. And there can be some very strong opinions about that. I personally have to steer clear of the King James. And that's just because as a new believer, opening up the Bible for the very first time and trying to read it, reading something that sounds like a Shakespearean play was actually incredibly distracting to me. I have found lots of folks who own a King James Version Bible, but don't read it because they don't understand it. I can't tell you, I've gifted so many Bibles, and they've been NLT and NIV Bibles because they're just easier to read. And so if you can anticipate that reading the Bible is going to be a struggle or going to be intimidating, I would actually recommend that you get one of the dynamic versions, either the NIV or the NLT. Like I said, my default Bible is an NLT. Some may frown upon that, but I love it. The church that I attend, they give out the English Standard Version Bibles, and they're wonderful. So again, I would definitely recommend that you, when you go to the store, open up the different versions of the Bibles and pick out the one that is easiest for you to understand and to grasp. So that being said, that's version. Then there's the font size and color. And so, and I'm going to tell you that that actually dictates the size of the Bible. So there are some, they have 7-point font or standard comfort font. You know, you'll see them describe it as that. And then you'll see some that say large print and giant print and extra Duplo giant print. And they can be quite large. And for those who have visual impairments, it's a blessing to have those different versions because then it's easier to read without a ton of other tools like magnifying glasses or your readers or whatever to have to just be able to read the Bible. But the font size does make a difference in the size of the Bible. And so I would say this is kind of your standard. This is just a Bible. And it has, when it talks about red letters, it's talking about the words of Jesus, mainly in the four Gospels, but also in other parts of the New Testament. It's written in red, and I don't know if that will pick that up, but it's written in red. And it's just a good visual, quick visual cue as to where Jesus is talking and where everybody else is talking. I really like the red-lettered Bibles. I find it helpful to quickly process who's speaking. So if you want a larger print font that's easier to read, this it's going to lend to a bigger size Bible. Whereas smaller Bibles, more portable ones, the font is, it's going to be kind of tiny. But it's, you know, that's the swap though. So you don't get a great big comfortable font size perhaps to read, but it's actually very portable and easy to carry around and take to different places. And actually, I shopped around. That's when I purchased this one for a comfortable travel Bible because I was lugging around. This is my default Bible and it's pretty thick and it's heavy. It's extremely heavy. It adds some serious poundage to my backpack or my luggage or whatever. And so I shopped and found this little guy and I love it. It comes in a zip pouch and then again the font is small, but it works. It's gone on business trips, it's gone on vacations. It has served me well and I love this thing and it easily fits in either a cargo pocket or in my purse. I slip it in my purse and my bag all the time and it doesn't take up a lot of space, and it's not super heavy either. And so font size is going to lend to the size of the actual Bible itself and how big it is. Now, the other thing that lends to the size of the and the bulk of the Bible is going to be what type of Bible is it? So you have your, I'm just going to say Bible. It's just God's word. And so there's different, there's the one I showed you. This one is just has a few footnotes. Has some reference scriptures in the middle, but God's word is given and there's no other notes or commentaries or anything. It's just God's word. And there's some maps in the back. Yes. Usually there's maps in the back. There's a concordance usually or a dictionary or something in the back as well. And that's it. And here's another one that's similar. Again, just God's word, nothing else. Okay. So those are, they can be slim. You can find, thin line Bibles that are very slender, compact, and they're great. If you want something that has a lot of notes, like this, my default Bible is a Life Application Study Bible. Okay. And what that means is that it has God's Word. It has God's Word, but in the bottom, it has a ton of notes. And it's explaining, it's providing some context for giving sometimes cultural context. Sometimes things are written in there that has no relevance today because we don't use, wineskins to drink our wine in or what, things like that. And sometimes there's questions in there of to ask, how it applies to you today. Why is that important for your Christian walk? And so, and then there's charts and things like this one is giving Zechariah's visions and it gives references. And so there's extra tables usually in study Bibles. There's a lot of times, maps. Like here's a nice study Bible, an ESV one. And a lot of times it'll introduce even the different books and it'll give an introduction to the book, like introduction to Acts. It even gives like a timeline. It gives maps. It gives an outline. So a study Bible really gives a lot of extras. And I gotta tell you, for a new believer, I think it depends. Everybody's a little bit different. Just having God's word and nothing else is a gift. I personally really like the notes. I usually have a lot of questions. I don't find the notes and the maps and tables and things distracting. It's helpful. It actually gives me a lot of context for the material that I'm reading. And I find it as a not a complete replacement, never a replacement for that good, mature Christian friend who can answer questions. But it is a nice substitute in the moment, to like, what does that verse mean? I don't understand that. And you go down to the notes and it gives like a little explanation about it. Nothing replaces, though, a great mentor or somebody who is, somebody you can go to. Who's been mining the Bible like all their life? I mean, they're just going to be rich with information and guidance and things to consider when you come to them with questions about the Bible. So just know when you go, what type of Bible? So there's the study Bible, the Bible Bible, there's devotional Bibles, and these kind of run the gamut, but I think of it as like a demographic. For example, I dug out my daughter's Bible, and so this is a little girl, she's in college now. So she's outgrown this Bible, but this is, as you can see, it's colorful. It's for, faith girls Bible, and it's written, to engage that demographic. Okay. So there's little nuggets and tidbits. It's, look at how it's designed. It's, pink and purple, and there's little things, little questions or whatever to help keep young girls engaged in the Bible. All right. And there's ones like that for moms, for dads, for husbands, wives, literally any demographic. And I don't personally own one, but I've definitely gifted them to other folks, and they're great. But when I've shopped for a Bible for myself, I'm definitely more interested in a study Bible. Like that's what I'm after, but I don't want to downplay, what a wonderful gift these can be because they can. Oh, and I'll show, so here she, you can see these tabs and these, you can purchase those. This didn't come with the Bible. She purchased those separately and then she added those. And that's just little tabs which give each book in the Bible. This particular Bible was not indexed or didn't have the little indentations. So my actual default Bible does have that. It has, I don't know if you can see that, it has indentations here and it gives you the books that are underneath each of those indentations. And it just kind of helps for the beginner who doesn't know, you know, where all the books are at, you know, if it's even Old Testament or New Testament, I have no idea. So that just kind of helps you to quickly find the books. And so that may be another feature that you really prefer. I know I wanted that when I was a new believer. When I purchased this Bible, I wanted one that was indexed and that would be easy to quickly find the books in the Bible. But maybe that's not important to you. And that's, you know, that's totally okay. There are other Bibles as well. And I'm going to briefly just mention them. Like, as you go into the store, you'll see them. My daughter got one, and I gifted one to a dear friend as a gift for baptism. And there's journal Bibles. And so there's beautiful Bibles that have a ton of space all in the margins for notes, for drawings, for doodling, for, you know, just anything that you want to document there. And I think that's wonderful for those who really like to write and they process a lot by writing things down and making notes. And for those who are creative and very artistic and like to kind of doodle or do word art and things like that. So there's journal Bibles. And then this one here is an English and Spanish Bible, which is pretty cool. Our son recently went to a mission trip in Honduras, and he took this with him. And, you know, he maybe can't, he's not fluent in reading in Spanish, but it's very phonetic. And so, but this book is laid out so that each page on the left is Spanish and then on the right is English. And so I imagine they have this in many other different languages. I'm sure there are some publishing companies, this one is Biblica, that may specialize in that kind of thing. But that's just another, just so you can see, another type of Bible that has two different languages, especially if you're doing mission work, what an invaluable resource that would be. And then this one is an archaeological Bible. I think I was listening to a podcast and I was like, wow, I didn't even know that existed. And I looked it up and I gifted one to my father, who really loves archaeology. For him, it's a passion. And so the notes and stuff that it has is on what are the archaeological findings, or where are the other places and historically where these things are kind of documented. And so again, there's all kinds of Bibles out there. And I only share that because I don't think that, you know, new believer is going to go out and want to get an archaeological Bible, maybe, but, you know, less likely so. But just to share and make you realize that there's all kinds of Bibles out there. And so, and then honestly, soft cover, hard cover, as you can see, this one here, some people like the, you know, the hard cover. Others are more about the soft cover. You know, if you like leather, you can certainly, this one here is a leather Bible. That's really just a matter of preference. And that kind of goes into price point. So this thing right here, because it's a little nicer, fancier Bible. Not only is it leather and it's, you know, got my name, it's gilded and got the three ribbons or whatever, it's going to be a higher price point. I don't know that this broke the $100 threshold, but it got, I think, pretty close up there. But they range in prices in the different Bibles. So this one here is $20. This Bible. This is a $20 Bible. And then this little feller here, $5.99. You know, but it is a paper cover, smaller font. Okay. And it's just the Bible. And so the price point, $6 to almost $100 and everything in between. So price will play a part. I would encourage you to look online and see. Often there are sales, especially around Easter, just for gift giving and that kind of thing. You can find some pretty good bargains in those sections. So that's really it on shopping for a Bible. It's really a matter of preference, but the driving factors are going to be what type of Bible, and I really think the version of the Bible. So one last thing that I would be completely remiss if I did not mention, that is whatever you have, whatever version of the Bible you have, If you're not able to purchase or get your hands on another Bible, read it. Okay. If all you can get is the $6 version of a Bible, hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to have God's word to read and to imbibe and dive into on a daily basis. You don't need the study notes and the bigger, fancier Bibles and such. You have something far more valuable as a new believer. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit indwelt in you, and He is going to help you understand God's word. And He will lift up things that are relevant to you so that you can understand what it is that God's trying to convey at that particular point as you walk with the Lord. And it's one of the ways in which God talks to us. And so do not feel like if you don't have the ability to get the bigger, chunkier Bible that somehow you're missing out. In fact, you have one of the most invaluable resources and gifts that can be bestowed, and that's the Advocate. And He will guide and He will lift up to you exactly what you need to understand that word. And so I don't want to leave anybody the impression that somehow, you know, any one particular Bible is more special, or you must have this, you know, to grow in your walk with the Lord. That is not true. You have all you need. If all you have is the gifted Bible or the, you know, $6 Bible, you have all you need with the Holy Spirit. And so I encourage you to dive in. I hope this was helpful. Until next time, God bless.